praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The life study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. When you hear the word saint, what comes to mind? Well, most of us draw a pretty vivid mental portrait of a genuine saint of God. But do you know that in the Bible, the word saint is used to describe every single member of the Lord's body, the church? Yes, even the smallest, most seemingly insignificant of the believers is a saint in the Father's eyes. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to verse 2. To the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours. Francis Ball has joined us for our second program in this life study of 1 Corinthians. So, Francis, we're all saints, huh?
I believe that's what it means, exactly. It includes every believer.
A lot of disparity between our natural concept of a saint and how, in the Father's eyes, in God's eyes, seeing us in Christ, we all qualify as believers. Talk about that for just a minute as we begin today.
The secret to being called a saint is the fact that the Lord does call us. And when He calls us, we are spontaneously sanctified because we're called. And a called one means one who has set aside for God's purpose. That's a saint. And one brother told me one time, either we are a saint or an ain't. But I was an ain't, but I became a saint by the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to Himself. So to be called by Him sanctifies us, sets us apart for God's purpose. How we act and how we live may not agree fully with that position that we have, but nevertheless, the Apostle Paul here addresses us as saints. And so I take the position that I'm a saint, a called one set apart for God's purpose.
Well, we're going to spend most of the program today focused on this verse. There's more to this verse than just this first calling, as we'll see this verse. Eventually, we'll see there are two kinds of calling in this verse. I'm not going to repeat it now. Now you have to wait to find out how that all works out. But in this first section, we want to come to this point that we just made in our introduction, Francis, and that is to see unequivocally that our calling qualifies us to be saints genuinely, because God cannot see us but in Christ. And if it were not so, we wouldn't be saved even at all, would we?
That's right. You may be very saintly, apparently, and yet not be a saint, because that depends on the calling of God to His purpose.
Well, I'm looking forward to our program today, our second one in this new life study. So let's join Witness Lee.
What is a saint? What is a saint? Verse 2 says, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, comma, to those. And to those equals to the church. Why? Because the church is not only constituted with God, but also composed of the saints. To the church is to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the saints. I do believe many of you were very hard to recognize those believers in Corinth were saints. God doesn't look at us in ourselves. He looks at us in Christ.
Amen.
Maya, those children of Israel, they were evil, full of evils. But Balaam prophesied that God didn't see any iniquity among the children of Israel. How about that? Don't think that Paul didn't know all the evil things that occurred in the church at Corinth. He knew. Yet, at his opening word, he called them what? Saints. Called saints. You are called saints. Have you not been called?
Amen.
Have you got saved? I tell you, to be saved is just to be called.
Amen.
You know, the Lord called Peter, come and follow me. That was a calling. And you were called, and I was called. We were all called. Once we were called, we became the saints.
Amen.
Do you dare to say that you are a saint?
Amen.
But most of the time, you would say, I'm a believer. I am a sinner saved by grace. You dare not to say, yes, I'm a saint.
Amen.
I lost my temper this morning. Am I still a saint? I quarreled with my wife. And I exchanged words with my husband. Am I still a saint? Well, they are a saint. You're not a saint. It doesn't depend upon whether you quarreled or you didn't. It depends upon what. Whether you are called or not. A called saint.
Well, I can see the justification, Francis, for the real test of sainthood or saintliness being to check with our spouse. But even that perspective is not the one that God brings to it. Obviously, here's this church in Corinth we've already seen in the first program. I think it'll be illustrated very clearly before we're through with this life study that the situation, the condition of this church in Corinth was very poor. Serious, serious problems among them. Yet here in the second verse, the Lord, through the apostle, designates each and every one of them as saints. Another view entirely than our natural concept, isn't it?
It certainly is, and even the religious concept.
Yeah.
Some call saints those who have been so different in their behavior, their person, and everything, that they are not necessarily that godly, but they are saintly in the sense of being a religious and set-apart person. But we're really called saints because we've been called by God to His purpose. This is our calling, and this is really what makes us saints. Not any kind of religious behavior makes us a saint, but certainly the Lord wants to work His saintly life in us.
Some of the older translations, I know the King James, for example, inserts, and if you have a King James and are following along, you'll see the words to be are added or supplied by the translators, and that's what's indicated by the italics there. You know, and the King James, a very good translation, one that we appreciate very much, but this is one of those inaccuracies that has maybe caused some problems for the church on a large scale because it's really affected, I think, over the centuries how people have viewed this passage, and even their view and understanding of what it is to be a saint has been somewhat distorted. Called to be saints, in other words, that we are called so that ultimately we will all be, have this kind of saintly behavior. Well, there is an aspect of that that's true, but in fact, in our position, we're saints from the moment we are called and receive the Lord, aren't we?
That's really so. We are the saints by the calling, not by the behavior. But there is, Chris, if you and I had been translating the Bible at that time, we probably would have felt compelled to put in those two words, to be,
right,
called to be saints, and that kind of a hopeful thing that these who were called by God would eventually become saints. And, of course, that is a religious thought, that we will become saints, that we will separate ourselves from everything else and be very saintly and very aloof from everything else. But being a saint in this sense that's in the Bible here in 1 Corinthians really is because we have been called by God.
You touched something very interesting. In the Roman Catholic tradition, I think sainthood has something that happens after you die. According to the real revelation of the Bible, sainthood happens at the moment we're born again. We become spiritually alive, not after we die.
Now, that's really so. We don't want to be missing the real impact of this because this means he was addressing not people who had died. He was addressing people here who were not up to the sainthood that we think of. Their lives were not saintly, but they were called saints because of their calling.
Really? In the introduction, we referenced the fact that this verse has another calling in it. Let's go ahead and pick that up now. Again, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, now, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. So, we find out, Francis, as will be really borne out by this portion of Witness Lee we're about to hear, we have been called to call. Well, let's join Witness Lee for this next portion.
God's calling is a kind of draft. You have to know that you have been drafted. To be drafted is to be separated, so you are sanctified. Sanctified simply means to be separated into certain purpose. We all have been called by God into His purpose. So we are the called saints. Then Paul add another part of verse 2. With all those who call upon the name of our Lord. Paul was very wise. Firstly, when he said something referring to local saints at Corinth, he used the word called saints. Then when he said something concerning all the saints on this earth, he changed his description. Who call upon. Could you see this? Now, in this verse, you have two calls. Called saints and called upon. And this indicates we, the believers, the saints, have been called by God to call upon. We have been called to call. And you have to realize this predicate call in Greek means call out, not call suddenly. So Paul says, what is a saint? A saint is number one, who has been called by God. And number two, who is calling. To be called, it's a matter of once for all. Once you got called forever. But to call upon the name is a lifetime matter. All the time you have to call. In this book, at the very opening, Paul gives us the definition of an apostle, of the church, and of the saint. The saint is just one, firstly, who was called, or who has been called by God, unto God. Then, this dear one, who has been called, always calls upon the name. This is a saint.
Francis, there are a couple of very interesting points here, and far more than just interesting. There's a crucial point here. First of all, obviously, to see our position as the saints being determined by God's calling of us. But as Paul is giving the definition in this early part of the book of the apostle, what it is to be an apostle, what the church really is, and now what a saint is, he includes this part B that we want to focus on. With all those who call, so we are called. That's a once and for all, but with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. This expression is very substantial and very literal, isn't it?
Yes, and the very word itself, the word in Greek means to call out. It means to verbalize. It means to be audible. To call on the name of the Lord was the practice of the early Christians. That was how they were identified. They were known because they were those who called upon the name, and it should not be any different today. We should be known as those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. The more we call, the more we experience His growth in us and His presence with us. To call is really the logical follow-up of being called. It means we agree with God's calling, and now we're calling on Him to fulfill in us the purpose for which we were called.
Yeah, I looked up that passage in the book of Acts where the Lord is calling Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that famous story on the way to Damascus where he is struck. And then the Lord goes and visits this brother in the church.
Yeah, Ananias.
Ananias, right? And Ananias says in chapter 9, verse 14 of Acts, "And here he," referring to this Saul of Tarsus who is tormenting the church, right? "And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name." Same word here.
Right.
That means Paul was on his way to Damascus before he was Paul, as he was Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of the church. He was on his way to find the Christians, and the way he was finding them was by—
By their calling.
By their calling.
Yes, right. So it's quite important that we be those that call. Don't be subdued so much by the fact that there are those who oppose calling on the name of the Lord. But the calling on the name of the Lord is characteristic of the early Christians and should be characteristic of all of us who are called saints. If we are called saints, we want to return that call and call on the name of the Lord and let others know that we are the callers.
So what's being depicted here is not just a kind of a silent prayer to God in a general way, but there is an invoking audibly, verbally, of the Lord's name, Lord Jesus. This has always touched me very much. I got saved from a passage in Romans chapter 10, just in that way, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I like that word calls.
Yeah.
It means calls out audibly, not just under your breath. Although sometimes your calling may be disturbing to others, you don't have to do that, but you can call quietly, you can call lightly, softly, but still it can be a call.
Right.
But our whole life should be characterized by calling on the name of the Lord.
Continually.
That's right. This should occupy us and should be our practice all the time.
God's calling of us is a once-for-all situation and irrevocable, but our calling upon Him has to be a continual day-by-day, hour-by-hour, even moment-by-moment
yes.
practice and habit, doesn't it?
That's right. This should be in our mouth constantly.
Well, let's go on a couple of verses further on in chapter 1. "I thank my God always concerning you, based upon the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus." This is talking about the first mention of a gift in the book of 1 Corinthians, a book that's often associated with the gifts. I think we'll find out more about that. Let me just finish this passage, Francis. "That in everything you were enriched in Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you do not lack in any gift, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the first mention of the initial gifts in 1 Corinthians, that's our subject for our final portion today.
We come to the initial gifts. Verse 4 says, "I give thanks to God always concerning you." A poor church in Corinth, that poor, that much divided, confused. Paul gives thanks to God always concerning them. Thank God for what? For their division? For their confusion? Could you give thanks to God always concerning such a church? So I got bothered. Paul gives thanks to God concerning those in Corinth for the grace they have received. Verse 5, "That in everything you were enraged in Him." Enraged? Were those Corinthian believers enraged? Could you believe that they were enraged? These four verses, 4, 5, 6, 7, bothered me for a long period of time. I couldn't understand it. Sometimes I told people in the way I understood. The Corinthian believers got all the gift in tongue speaking, in healing, yet they were still infants. But I didn't have the peace with it. Until one day, I do believe it was of the Lord, that I got to see the gift that came out of the grace which we received at the time when we believed is the initial gift. You read the context, you could see the gift here is not the gift that is recorded in chapters 12 and 14. Then I realized Paul means you Corinthians, you have received the Lord Jesus, you have believed in him, and you have received the initial gifts. You have received the divine life, and you have received the Holy Spirit. The only short is that you don't have the development of these gifts. So in chapter 3, Paul says, you have to grow. I planted, and Apollos watered. God gives growth. You need the growth. Those Corinthians were just infants in the initial gifts. No growth, no development.
Francis, I hope we can catch this point. He made it early on, and that is that a lot of times we look at this first mention of the gifts here, and then when it's seen against the backdrop of how infantile, really, in their Christian walk, these Corinthian believers were. I have also, as he had confessed to, used the gifts there, thinking that it was talking about the later gifts described in chapters 12 and 14, the tongue speaking and the gift of healing and miracles and teaching and all of those things. But really, it has more to do with the fact that there hasn't been the maturity, the development, and the growth of life, doesn't it?
That's really the main thing I think we need to see in this, and what really came to light to me also, to see that we are called saints doesn't indicate in Paul's writing that we were that saintly, but it certainly indicates that we are the recipients of the initial gifts. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get the gift of eternal life.
Right.
And also, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you could call these, rightfully, that these are the initial gifts of the Christian life. And these are the gifts that every believer receives, the initial gifts. But it's like a gift that's alive and a seed that's been put in the soil. But that has to grow before it manifests anything. So the calling on the name of the Lord on our side is the development of these gifts. It's the enlargement of the experiences of Christ as the eternal life and experiencing of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit to make us holy in our living as well as in our fact. We are called, separated unto God for His purpose. That's a once-for-all call that you mentioned a while ago. And the calling that we do on our side is a continual calling that lasts all our life to experience the reality of the presence of Christ in our being so that we are being transformed day by day. And that will make us saintly in our living. But today, we're just seeing these two uses of the word call. To call upon and to be called.
And in these, we receive Christ, we receive the initial gift, as you said, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the seed of life is really fully equipped to produce a saintly living that matches our saintly position out of our calling. If just we get to chapter 3 and see that what needs to happen is that growth has to now take place. Right, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God makes to grow.
That's right. So we need to touch God very much. In our calling, we get the reality of Christ growing in us. So what is needed in these Corinthians to ever get to chapter 12 and 14, we need the growth in life. But that's not mainly to manifest certain outward gifts, but it's to have the growth in life so that the riches of Christ are really experienced by us.
It's a wonderful book, and even though it's often thought of as a book full of problems and negative things, really the elements of God's economy that are revealed in this book are extremely wonderful and very much needed, and the Lord is so economical in His use, even of the failure of these Corinthian saints to emphasize and highlight these marvelous positives in the gospel.
Or this writer, to bring out the riches of Christ, he really chose a black background.
He really did.
And he manifests so many riches of Christ. What Christ is in so many ways will come out as we go on in this study of 1 Corinthians.
Glad you're here today, Francis. Hope you can join us a number of times as we continue on in this new life study, 1 Corinthians.
I'd really like to do that because this is a marvelous book.
It surely is. We hope you'll contact us to receive the printed messages yourself of 1 Corinthians, the printed life study messages. If you'd like to receive those, call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788, or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give
Are you enjoying this program online or on a smartphone right now? Did you know there's much more from Living Stream Ministry that you can carry with you? Go to lsm.org/epublications to discover all that we have available for your tablet, e-reader, or smartphone. We support Kindle, Nook, iSilo, and EPUB formats, which means you can read this ministry on any PC, Mac, Android, Palm, BlackBerry, Sony, or Linux device. Everything from the recovery version of the Bible to the complete life study messages and a vast array of other titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee are now just a touch away. The Word of God is rich and weighty, but now you can take it with you wherever you go. Again, the website, lsm.org/epublications. Thanks for listening today.